Last weekend, a leading advocate of the right to die for terminally ill patients, 29-year-old Brittany Maynard, chose to end her own life. Increasingly affected by an incurable brain tumor, she died surrounded by her family, which moved to Oregon with her so they could be together in a state that permits the right to die. A valuable overview of the way different religious denominations approach this issue in terms of ethics and morality appeared this week from Religion News Service. The writer is Kathy Lynn Grossman, and I am so happy to have her join us now on State of Belief Radio. Kathy, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Oregon is a state that grants a right to die in specific circumstances. If you would summarize what some of those circumstances are.
Generally, somebody has to be certified by maybe two physicians that they have a condition for which there is no treatment, that they are likely to die in the next 6 months, and that they are not depressed or making this decision under duress, that they are freely choosing this decision. And then they can get a prescription for lethal drugs. And the reason it's called physician-assisted dying is that the physician assists by evaluating and writing a prescription. They don't have to participate in this. No doctor is required to do this. But when it comes time to actually take that prescription, the person has to be still well enough to physically take the drugs without assistance. They have to be able to pick it up and swallow it. And for Brittany Maynard, that was a question. She was concerned about whether she would become too debilitated to actually exercise that right.
And if that had been the case, no member of her family could have done that. Isn't that right?
Not legally.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Kathy, what other states recognize a terminally ill patient's prerogative to end their own life?
Well, it's a total of five states now: Washington State, Vermont, Montana, and New Mexico.
Has there been any significant change in the status of this issue?
I think that it rises and falls in public attention. I think that when Brittany Maynard contacted Compassionate Choices, which is the group that is one of the prime advocacy groups for this law, along with Death with Dignity, she really gave that attention a shot in the arm because she represented young people. People tend to think that this is something that's not about them, that they don't need to pay attention to this issue unless they have an elderly parent or friend or relative who may be sick and dying. But Brittany Maynard's involvement is a very visual, immediate sense, hey, this is about everybody.
How overtly have the religious denominations in the United States taken a position on the right to die?
Most major denominations are adamantly opposed to physician-assisted dying. As one evangelical spokesperson, Joni Erickson Tata, put it, God alone makes the decision about the day that you die. There are some religions that don't have a specific teaching on this. The National Baptist Convention, the Presbyterian Church, the United Church of Christ, this is a matter that they're still studying. They're debating this. But certainly the Catholic Church is opposed. The Southern Baptist Convention is opposed. The United Methodist Church is opposed. Lutheran churches are opposed. So the major denominations of Mormons are opposed. The biggest denominations that represent the most of Americans formally oppose this. The question becomes, of course, how often do people know or heed the teachings of their denomination?
Right. And I know this is somewhat of a guess, but what are the circumstances in which the ending of one's life is permitted when there is a church that does not condemn it?
First of all, I think no religious group believes in prolonging dying. St. John Paul II did not have artificial food and hydration in his last days. He declined that treatment. You can withhold or withdraw treatment if you believe that it is of no benefit. You're never going to be better you can say, look, I don't want this anymore. You can spell it out in your advanced directives. You can have your healthcare surrogate know that if you can't speak for yourself, you want them to decline life support things like the ventilator mm-hmm. or feeding tubes.
Yeah.
The question comes where, first of all, people don't have directives, and only 1 in 3 Americans have, forget writing it down, have even had a discussion with their loved ones about what they want for their end of days. Their relatives are left to wonder, mm-hmm. what is the right thing to do? What did my loved one want us to do?
I was thinking when you mentioned the death of the Pope, what's the consequence of when a person shuts off all of the procedures to try to keep the person alive, even if they're declining in health? Is the church understanding and forgiving of that, or are they as adamant about that shouldn't be done as they are about the right to life itself?
I think a lot of times it depends on where you land, which bishops the hospital is dealing with. I believe that Catholic hospital systems have to honor your directives.
I see.
If you come in with a directive that says, I do not want this treatment, you may have to stand toe-to-toe with the ethicist or the priest to mm-hmm. enforce it, or your loved ones may have to do that for you. But I think that their fundamental stance, however, is that providing these things is ordinary care, mm-hmm. not extraordinary care. And people are not morally obligated to provide extraordinary care, to do things for people that are pointless and they're not going to cure them. But the Catholic Church believes, as do several other religions, that it is a privilege to care for mm-hmm. someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that at some spiritual level, these people appreciate knowing that they will always be cared for.
Yeah. Kathy, you've been reporting on religion for a long time, and for many of us, you've been someone to whom we look with great respect. What else should our listeners know about this very sensitive and intensely personal issue?
I would say that in conversations, you need to pay attention carefully to the vocabulary. If somebody refers to this as physician-assisted suicide, there's a reason that they chose the word suicide. Generally, it has to do with an agenda. They are opposed to it, and they are calling up the term suicide because suicide brings with it the baggage of people who would not be dying otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't view this as suicide in the case of Brittany Maynard because she is dying. She doesn't. It's not like she had a choice, live,
yeah.
die. She was going to die. The question was how mm-hmm. and when, not whether.
Hmm.
But it's not just whether they say suicide or physician-assisted dying. It's also how they talk about the word suffering.
Hmm.
A rabbi told me once that pain is physical. Suffering is psychological. It's how you respond to pain. It's what you think about and how you feel about the situation that you're in. This rabbi told me, he said, most people suffer at the hands of their friends and loved ones, not at the hands of their disease, because there's disagreement over what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So even when you're using the same terms, it doesn't necessarily mean you're saying and meaning the same things. You want to clarify your terms with people when you're talking with them.
Mm.
But the most important thing that I would like people to take away is whatever it is you want, whatever it is you believe, talk to your loved ones about it.
Yeah.
Don't prolong the agony by leaving them doubting whether they had done what you had wished.
Kathy Lynn Grossman is an award-winning journalist who is a senior national correspondent at Religion News Service. Prior to joining RNS, Kathy was at USA Today for over 2 decades, where she created the Religion and Ethics Beat. And I express great thanks for what you've said to our listeners and for you being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Call me anytime.